Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've allowed us to assemble together today around your word. And we know, Father, that you have promised to bless it as it goes forth. And we just ask a special blessing upon each and every one that's here today and those who might be listening later by radio. And Father, for those that are out from us today that are sick and those throughout this land that are in need of help in any way, we just ask that your word and your Holy Spirit would go forth and apply it to each heart as each one has need. And Father, for those that are sick in our community, and especially sick, sin sick, we just ask that your word would go into their hearts, that it might crack that old stony heart, that it might spring forth and bring forth fruit unto you. And Father, we just thank you now for what you're going to do, and we thank you for the opportunity that you've opened unto us, another radio station, and we just ask that as your word goes out that you would bless it. And Father, that your name would be glorified and your name would be honored. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor. And we thank you now for what you're going to do. And we thank you for the word that you're going to speak to us today, that you would remove me and let the Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide in the things of the Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the first and second chapter here, we're going to see that God's tool chest. You know, God has a tool chest. Did you ever think about that? Now, when we, in our world that we live in, all of us, they say, have a tool of our profession. One way or the other, it might be a pencil or it might be a saw and a hammer, but we have tool chests. God also has a tool chest that he uses in this world. And as we said before, in this church, it was some things that was amiss. There were many religious leaders going about, and the people were claiming to be followers of Apollos and of Paul and of Cephas and some of Christ. And the Apostle Paul wrote them this letter, and he asked them the question, was Paul crucified for you? Was Cephas, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And he said, I thank God I baptized none of you. He said, God didn't send me, or Christ didn't send me to baptize, but he sent me to preach the gospel. And so, not with wisdom of the word, he said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, he didn't send me to baptize. Evidently, they were baptizing into the church, and they were claiming these believers and followers after them. They were following men. But Paul refutes that, and he said, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but for one thing, to preach the gospel. And that's what we as Christians are to do. We are to take the word of God out into this world and tell others the good news that Christ came and he died upon the cross. He was buried, but he rose again, and he is a living Savior today, and there is hope in him. And we come to the 18th chapter, or 18th verse of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now look at this, what preaching is. Preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Those who are outside of Christ, who've never been born again, that's foolishness unto them. They see nothing in it. There's no benefit for them. And man is always looking for something that he can get something out of. But we who receive Christ by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. And unto us, what is it? It is the power of God. You see, unto one, it is foolishness. Unto other, it is the power of God. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, the scripture has it written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And I would say that this is probably where we are in our world today. You see, I think the wisdom has been destroyed of our wise men today. We're going about in almost total chaos. Just this past week, our president and three others was shot in something that they said, well, how could it be that a fellow could get within 10 feet of the president with all the security that we have? But there is a scripture in Proverbs that answers that question. It says, except the Lord watch over the city, the watchman waketh in vain. You see, there is a higher power that has to be over this system. Except the Lord watch over the city, the watchman waketh in vain. We have policemen riding about, but yet if the Lord isn't in control, isn't watching over the city, they're going about in vain. You see, I think that the wisdom of this world has become foolishness. Look at verse 20. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You see, the more knowledge we get and the farther ahead that we get in this world, the bigger mess that we seem to get into. Now, it need not be so, because I think that we should have all the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom that we can gain in this world. But it's the way that it is used, it's the way that it is abused, that man takes the things of this world and uses them for his own personal gain. It says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now look at this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You see, there's no way through our own intellect that we can come to know Christ as our personal Savior. We step out by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's simple faith. We step out and saying, yes, I believe. I repent of my sins. I turn from the way that I'm going. I realize that I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the beginning, God made man to have fellowship with him. This was the purpose that God created man, to have fellowship. He walked with him through the cool of the garden. And then God told him, there's a tree out there that you cannot eat of. But man had a better idea. He said, I want some of that. He had everything in the garden. He had paradise. But he wanted of that fruit. And then man fell. And when man fell, he was put out of paradise. He was put outside the garden. And from that time on, the scripture says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's where we are. We're sinners. And it says that we must repent of those sins, that we must turn around. We must acknowledge that we're sinners, that we need a Savior. The world by wisdom knew not God. It has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now that's what pleased God. Preaching pleased God. Why? To save them that believe. For the Jews, look at this, 22, the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now look at this, there are those who are sign seekers. They're looking for signs. But Jesus said there be no sign given except as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man shall be in the heart of the earth, which meant that Jesus was going to die and he was going to be buried, but he was going to rise again. The Jews require a sign. People are looking for a sign today. But man will not be saved by signs. Did you know that? There's no way that you can be saved by signs. Because if they had, the whole world would have been saved when Jesus was going about, because he did great miracles. He raised the dead. He healed the sick and the lame walked and the dumb spake. You see, he performed miracles. He performed signs. But man didn't believe. They nailed him to a cross. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. And there are those who try to get it by wisdom. But you can't get it that way. It's simple faith. Look at the next verse in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Look at that. We preach Christ crucified. Simple faith in a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on that cross. He paid for our sins. And when we realize that we have sinned and come short of the glory of God and turn to him in faith from our sins, we are forgiven. He then becomes a power to us, a power unto salvation. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But we preach Christ crucified. What a simple message that is. Christ crucified. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Look at this. But unto them which are called. The scripture says many are called, but few are chosen. As we speak today and our message goes out here and over radio and throughout wherever it might go. Many are called because the invitation goes out. Few are chosen because few will come. But whether they be Jews or Greeks, those who are chosen, those who have come to Christ, those who will accept him by faith, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. Look at this group that God calls. He calls, you might say, the outcast of the world, what society would call or used to call. Yeah, about everything's outcast now. But what man used to call the outcast of society. This is what God usually calls to carry his message to a dying world. You read through the Bible, the ones that he called. David, he said, was a man after his own heart. But look what David did. Look at the sins that he had committed. But you see, that was the old David. God forgave him. And God cleaned him up and made him a new creation. And he was a man after God's own heart. You see what God chooses? Excuse me. In verse 27, here is God's tool chest. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things to confound the base things of the world, and things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring the things which are not, which are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You see what he chooses? He chooses the weak instruments, the weak things. And he takes them. And he puts a power within them. And they become strong. Because Paul said, in weakness, then I am made strong. Well, how could that be? In weakness, how in the world could he be made strong? Simply by leaning upon the Lord Jesus Christ and depending upon him. And not upon self. When we can come to the place where we can depend upon God and not upon ourselves, then we can too can receive power. Throughout the Bible, God chose the weak instruments. What did he give Moses over there? He gave him a little old rod, a stick. That's what he had to smote the waters with, to smote the rock with. He threw it down, it became a snake. He picked it up. What happened? It turned back into a rod. You see, something that's just ordinary. A rod off of a tree, a stick. And then there was a jawbone of an ass that a fellow took and he slew 1,000. That was Samson, wasn't it? Can you imagine going out and picking up an old bone out there and slay 1,000 men? Why? Why would this be so? Why didn't he choose why didn't God choose some other method of doing this? What about the 5 little stones that David took against the giant? He ripped down the brook and got 5 little stones. By the way, they said that the reason he got 5 stones, he didn't need but one, because that's the one that slew the giant. But he had 5 because this fellow had 4 brothers. So that's the reason he got 5 stones. But there was a handful of meal that he used one time and a little bit of pot of oil to that widow that had nothing to eat. God chose to use that. Why? He could have filled the barrel with a miracle. He could have filled the barrel. He could do whatever he wanted to because he was the creator. But you see, he chose to use the weak things of the world. What about that cloud the size of a man's hand? He went out and looked on top of the mountain, Elijah, and said, just a little cloud out there. It's not going to rain. There's just a little cloud out there the size of a man's hand. And pretty soon it came a great rainstorm. Because why? God's word said it was going to rain. But man looked and all he could see was just a little bitty cloud. Small things. What about the little mustard seed that it's spoken of in the Bible? 5 barley loaves that was blessed. The little boy had 5 barley loaves. Little things, small things that God takes that he can use. And I think that's the reason that God chooses us today. Weak vessels things that are weak, that we might come total dependence upon him. Well, why would this be? Why doesn't he choose the mayor of the town and the governors and all these things, our great politicians, to go out? And sometimes he does. It says not many mighty, you see. It doesn't say any. It says not many. All right? But he does choose them sometime. But there is a purpose that God does this. And it tells us in verse 29 that no flesh should glory in his presence. Simple, isn't it? No flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who are of God, is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Now look at this verse 30. For of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, look at this, wisdom. Hey, those who are in Christ Jesus receive something. The scripture says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth freely, and he'll give it. Look what we have, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he is the only one. He is the way. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Cephas, it wasn't any preacher that you might have heard or anything like that. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who died upon the cross. Verse 31, that, as according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's neat, isn't it? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And that's what you and I have to glory in today, is the Lord Jesus Christ, who had mercy upon us, who forgave us for sin, who gave us a new life, who raised us up from that place of dead and trespasses and sin, and said, now I want to be your counselor. I want to be your guide, and I want to be your teacher, and I want to teach you wisdom. I want to teach you about righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what we get in Christ Jesus, so that when we glory, the only thing we have to glory in, we can say, I didn't receive it of myself. I didn't receive it of any other man, but I received it of the Lord. And all glory and honor goes unto him. And he says in chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Look at him. He talks to his brethren now, and he says, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And if anyone could have ever come to him, it would have been Paul, because he was the most highly educated at that time. And he could have come to him with excellence and great orator and a great speaker of great words, but he chose not to, because verse 2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all he wanted to know. Have you received that Christ who was crucified on the cross? Is he your Savior? Are you following him? Are you following someone else? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You see his unworthiness that he felt. Such a great spiritual giant as we would look at today, yet he says, without Christ, I am nothing. You see, he realized where that his power came from. Because why? Because when he was going down that Damascus road and he fell to the ground, he saw a great light there. He came face to face with the Lord, and he recognized that he had been doing wrong, that he had sinned, that he was persecuting the true church. And now he realized that power that had saved him, because he was struck blind. And now he could see. He could see a different way. He could now see spiritually. Once he was blind, but now he could see. And in verse 4 he says, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You see, he wasn't trying to make the hip parade with man. He brought the simple word, the simple gospel, that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose again. The reason is, in verse 5, it tells the reason that he came this way. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That was the reason that he brought this message this way. Because that man's faith should be in where? In God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Not in the intellectual part, but in the power of God. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Look at this now in verse 6. He said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Well, what does that mean? Is any of us here today perfect? By no means. No means are any of us perfect. But it says spiritual maturity. Those who are spiritually grown, because this is where we speak wisdom among, because the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they are spiritually discerned. Remember, it says that the preaching of the cross to them that perish is what? Foolishness. It has no power. It has no meaning. They don't understand the mysteries. But those who are in Christ Jesus who have grown, there is a different drumbeat. We speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even the hidden wisdom. It's only hidden to a man as long as he allow it to be hidden from him. Because the scripture says the minute that our faith turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit comes to indwell us, and then the Spirit leads us into the truth, and the truth shall set us free. God created us for a purpose, and that was to have fellowship with him. Man fell out with God. He no longer, when sin entered in, had the fellowship with God. It separated him from God. And his will is that we come back to him, that again, that we can have that fellowship. How do we do that? By repenting of our sin and acknowledging that we need a Savior. He said, we speak this, but not, in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see, that was a great mistake. Had the princes of this world known it, they would have never nailed Christ to the cross. They didn't know him. He was a stranger. He walked about. He was very God himself, walking about in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ upon this earth. But yet man did not recognize him. They nailed him to the cross. Why? Because he went there for you and for me. Verse 9, and you've often heard this and quoted at funerals, and you'll probably hear it quoted many, many more times. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now look at this. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now this is what you hear quoted at a lot of funerals, isn't it? But it stops short. Let's read the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, there is a revelation. It's not a blind faith that we walk after today. It's not something that we can't see. We can see it through the eye of faith. God has revealed it unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth the things. You see, the Spirit does the searching. Not you, not me. But the Spirit searcheth the things, yea, the deep things of God. And that's the mission of the Holy Spirit when he is to come to indwell you, is to take the things of Christ and show them unto us. And it's available to whosoever will may come and receive of this. Whosoever will, and if any man lack wisdom, as we said before, let him ask of God who giveth freely. But you see, the only thing that you and I can glory in is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that we seek because we had nothing of our own. It all came from him, everything that we have spiritually. He gave it to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see what he gives to us? Eternal life. The minute that we say, yes, Lord, we have eternal life. Eternal life begins right now, not when we die. Eternal life begins the minute that we receive Christ as our personal Savior. Oh, we'll die in this old flesh, but that inner us, it'll just slip out of the old body and go be with the Lord. What a wonderful Savior we had, and what great provisions he had. You see, God's tool chest, what he uses? Weak things. Weak things. He can take them and give them strength. I can verify that in my own life. I could never used to stand up before people and talk to people over four or five at a time. There was no way. And my mother, I guess she's probably listening today, and she'll verify the fact that when I was treasurer of a church when I was a young man, that on Wednesday night they had the treasury report, and I couldn't stand up before the church to get it, so I'd send it over to my mother so she could read it. I'd miss church on Monday night. I couldn't stand up and read the report. And not that I am any different, except that Christ will furnish what we have need of. He'll make the way. He'll give us strength to do whatever he calls us to do. He takes the weak things, and he is the one that furnishes the power. We don't have any power of ourselves anyway, do we? He is the one that furnishes all. So he says, you just come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You see, he furnishes the power. We have none of our own. And when we come to him and put our faith and our trust in him and saying, Lord, I can't, but you can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. Because why? Because he gives us strength. In weakness, I'm made strong. We pay for strength. We should be praying for weakness, because then we become strong. We depend upon the Lord. Jacob did, didn't he? Wrestled with all the strength that he had. And boy, he was putting on a good wrestling match. But pretty soon, he became weak because his hip was thrown out of joint. His thigh was thrown out. Then he had to lean upon the Lord. He couldn't go on his own. He went away depending upon the Lord. And sometimes we have to be that way. We have to be brought down and wrestle with the Lord with our problems that we have until we come to that place and saying, Lord, I can't, but you can. And then is when the Lord comes into our life and takes over, and then we really know what life is all about.